Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter, and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter and Steve. You're all right, lads. You're right there. It's a bit chilly, isn't it? A bit chilly with you?
No.
Literally, before you came on, Steve just says, "Alexa, boost the heating for 1 hour." And then a second later, you went, "Oh, that's better." I thought, how fast does that work?
Yeah. What did Alexa say?
Bing.
He hasn't got Alexa. Shouldn't say anything. Just pretend he's just showing off.
He's there. He turns up the thermostat.
Yeah, with his hands. Yeah. Steve, last week you came down, and we did obviously the Weekend Podcast live, and we went go-karting. Steve brought down some beers from Aldi. I had one. They're cheap, Steve. I had one last night. I didn't finish it. I chucked it in the bin. It was like an Aldi cider and black. Was this?
Sure, I thought
it was awful. I literally did not finish it, and I'm quite excited, of course. But I just thought, that is dreadful. Normally, Aldi get it right, don't they? How cheap are those,
well,
Steve?
About ten
pence a can, are they?
It was like £3.10 for 4, so it wasn't even super cheap.
Well, it's not expensive, £3 for 2.
well, considering you could probably get Strongbow one for probably about the same price, it's not.
Oh, is it? Okay, I didn't know. By the way, someone did ask who won the go-kart, you know, so that was me.
Yes.
Me.
No, who really won?
I never saw Steve on there. I don't think I ever assist. Steve, did you actually take part?
Yeah.
I was just running around with a chip for the start line.
I know, I did, but, and I, because of you, Peter, your underhanded tactics, so they've got this red light system, then an orange light system. Red light, everyone's got to stop. Orange, there's been a bit of a crash, just slow down to a walking pace. Obviously, that walking pace is subjective. It depends how fast you walk.
Exactly. That's my defence.
But literally, it changed an orange. You took me on an orange, and then and I looked at it, you've got two, three people ahead, so I just carried on. Right, two can play that game. this bloke overtook, said, "Oi!" Because he was going at walking pace, I was going at running pace. And then I got the old pull in by the thing, coming in.
Black flag
sent into the pits. I can't believe. I thought he just did it.
So just to recap, Steve got the fastest lap, but I got the best average lap speed in the session, didn't I?
I won, though, didn't I?
No, well, but you're small, that's why. You're small, you weigh about 3 stone.
Yeah, of the 12 people on track, I think I won, didn't I? Because I got the fastest average speed.
You had a very good go-kart. Didn't you? When you accelerate, I couldn't keep up with you.
Yeah, that's a weight issue.
It's a go-kart issue.
That's a weight issue.
Because we had 2 laps, and the first lot, I was overtaking you easier, and you were number 13, didn't you? And as I said, number 13 for you was dread. I said, unlucky for some. And so in the second bit, I kept overtaking you when you had 13. When I had 13, the second bit, I couldn't. You were overtaking me. So I was the fastest in the first laps.
If we had to rank, I'd probably say
I was wearing an overall.
First.
Yeah,
I won.
I came first.
Yeah.
Steve
overall,
came
I won.
Second, and Justin came third.
Yeah, in an overall, I won. Yep.
Yeah.
You were the best in the overall.
You
look great in those overalls.
Really good in the overalls.
I tell you what, though, I've got a very sore coccyx. Have you? Or just above the coccyx? I've got literally a broken skin there. And it's a scab right above the crack in my backside.
Are we still talking about karting, or?
Yeah, it's a karting injury. It's not.
Oh, I see.
It's not a bedroom injury. Injury. No, but are you? Do you have a scab above the crack of your bum? I do.
No.
Really, friction burns.
That's the tattoo you had on the Saturday night. Remember?
Yeah. It's a tattoo in the picture of a scab. That's good. I imagine having that. Do you have a tattoo? It's a scab.
No, it was a big third place medal that you wanted.
Yeah. More like third place. Hey!
Yeah, it's like, I really want a bronze medal on my back. So we got a tattoo.
Okay, anyway, let's touch on stocks and shares then. It's been a bit of a better week this week. So I kept mentioning Expedia all the time to you. you know, yes. Weekend Podcast. You did not buy any, Pete, and it's had a nice run since. Literally, people that charting, people that chart, and do you know what? Like I said, there's lots of companies that rally, you know, and spike up, then come back down because there's no fundamental base for the rally. They know these resource companies or oil and gas companies have no revenue. And so essentially what you're seeing there is a spike on future potential. But then they realise, well, hang on, they're probably going to have to raise some money between now and next 6 months anyway. So it comes back down. So it's very short-lived. Expedia has, will this year, have £200 million worth of revenue. They'll have, you know, minimum, they said, £5 million pre-tax profit. This isn't a bad year. This is a bad year for them. So they were growing last 3 years, 45%, 64%, 54%, something like that, last 3 years. This year's going to be 11%, still double digit, low double digit, but still, nevertheless, it's decent. So that's why the share price has taken a bit of a knock. And that's why I think, you know, even though they've given that trade statement, they said they're going to guarantee that amount of revenue and profit. I thought it was definitely worth getting into because Stephen came on the podcast, the CEO, not you, Steve, but, and he did say, I said, is this the norm now? I said, is this 10, 11%? Is this the norm growth-wise? He said, no, we're going to continue growing now. He said, we've had a year of issues. We're growing pains, a couple of customers. We're sorting that out straight away. We'll go back to growth. He said, I want to be up at, I got a target for half a billion in revenue, obviously 500 million, within the next 3 years, by 2022. And then within 5 years, up to a billion in revenue. So, you know, even if you look at a 5% margin on that. Steve will do the maths for you. He likes to do that. Steve, what's 5% of a billion? £1 billion. £1 billion. What is it? Steve.
How much is in a billion?
It used to be a billion, but now we've changed up the American system, which is 1,000 million. So you imagine that. You have £1 million coins, right? £1 million coins all stacked up. You got 1,000 of those. That's nuts, and that's 1 billion. So
they'd fall over, wouldn't they?
Yeah. I wouldn't have them in coins either. It'd be quite awkward to transport around. And also a bit of a security risk in your house. Steve, so...
You know I'm terrible at maths.
Let's all do it together. What's 10% of 1,000?
100 million.
100, yes. 100 million.
1,000, sorry, 100.
That's 10%. What's half of the 100?
It's 50, isn't it?
50, yes. So if you're doing 50%, is that right? 50 million. Wow. They're writing that. So that's a 5%.
That's 5%.
Yeah. A 5%. Yes. Yeah, but in 5 years' time, 5% of a billion, if that's their margin, let's take it even down then. Let's go say 3%. 30 million profit.
That's it.
30 million this profit, right? Put that on a PE of 10. Because at the moment, in a bad year, that's what their margin is, about 3%.
Yeah.
So 30 million. Put that on a PE10, but with their kind of growth, it'll be more than that. They'll
afford 84 billion.
So put that on a PE10. Yeah. 300 million value at the moment. Yeah. What they valued at sub 50 million. But yeah.
Can I just point out this is some guy just saying that.
He's not some guy. He's not some guy. He's a CEO who's been in freight for over 30 years. He owns this company since 1980s. He owns 26% of the stock. Yeah. They've been growing. If you'd have gone back and looked at their growth so far, that fits. They can do it.
What I'm saying is we can all have targets.
Now, that's an upper target, of course. But what I'm saying is let's be realistic about this, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah? Yeah, you at the back. Well, pay attention. So let's be realistic. Let's just say they're going to do 200 million this year. And I said before, you know, let's say they're going to do just 10% of that next year. Let's say that. Let's say 10%. So they do 220 million revenue. Now, 10% of that is 20, 11 million profit. Maybe that's on 5% net margin. Times that by 10, 110 million pounds should be valued at. That's three times where we are now, or just over twice now. But I mean, that's only for next year. So, you know, what I'm saying is, it's backed up by fundamentals. They've got cash. They didn't need to go back to the market. They're making money. They're cash, they're generating value, real value, money. They're not losing money. They don't have to go back to the market. You know, you can have companies, oil and gas reserve resource companies. You can say things like, their mine, then NPV, their mine will be worth, you know, 500 million. Yeah, but how do you think they get to that? First of all, they haven't got any revenue, so they have to raise money. Then they have to raise funding for the mine, which is several hundred million. That's massive obstacles, and there'd be a lot of dilution in the way. May not even come to pass. You know, if you have a downturn, no one's going to invest in that mine, probably. So, you know, what I'm saying is, this is a realistic trajectory they're already on. They're generating this cash as it is. That's what someone sent me a DM about the company that have been a perennial disappointer, and he told me about the pipeline that they've got. I said, yeah, I wrote about this company 5 years ago and about their pipeline. That pipeline is still going on. They haven't moved down the pipeline. I said, there's better opportunity. You can't, and that's why this company keeps having spikes all the time, because people keep talking about the pipeline, and like, they are valued at about 7 million something. Their revenue this year will be 2 million, and yet their pipeline is saying it's 50 million. I said, yeah, but that's fantasy land. That's glitter. You know, that's unicorns and glitter. That's not real. They've been talking about that for years. So, every now and again, new investors come on board and say, oh, look at that pipeline. Oh, look at your pipeline. Oh, that's a big pipeline. Oh, have you seen the size of this pipeline? But listen, it's not a real pipeline. You try and touch it. It's like a mirage. It's like a hologram, you know.
Right.
Expedia, that is a real, it's real. It's real cash going through the coffers. Real cash, real business. You know?
Yeah.
It's like you, one of you guys, Steve, say a client, I've been talking to a client for like 5 years, and if he comes on board, it's worth $1 billion to me. I said, well, you've been talking to him for 5 years, what's the likelihood he's going to sign? Yeah, but you know, keep dangling that carrot all the time. It's like, you know, to investors, it's nonsense. It's not going to come to fruition. What I'm saying is, Expedia has risen very quickly, Pete and Paddy sort of missed out, haven't they? The RSI is now at 89.90.
Yeah.
It's going to come back. It's going to come back a little bit, of course, because over it won't come back like a resort stop, but when it comes back, I'm going to be topped up some more. So I just think anything below 50 million is
And a dividend.
Last year they paid 5%. They won't pay that this year. I think they could pay about probably 3% this year. That's decent, isn't it? Decent dividend as well. They're paying you to hold the stock. It's nice.
Yes. So I don't sit in front of my computer all day, every day, looking at stock. I sit in front of my computer, but not looking at stock.
Ah, there we are. So one screen away, one tab away you are.
Yeah, I know. I've got one or two other things going on. So, I did try, but it was tightly held and it's quite difficult to buy.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
And it moved quickly and I missed it. But yeah. I'm not jumping on a spike. I'm going to stay calm.
Steve tried hard. Harry and Larry.
Steve sits in front of his computer all day and has a bit more flexibility.
I think I must have been lucky because I didn't try hard at all. In fact, I bought twice and bought both times with no problem.
There we are, Steve. Harry and Larry like you, Steve, because you put in wrong bids all the time.
Wrong digits.
They're laughing their heads off you, Steve. They just be like, he's bought 2 pence worth of stock again. We've charged him £12 for that.
Go on, Steve.
Let him have another go. Oh, he's done it right this time. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, blimey.
Well, he'll have it this time.
Yeah. Oh, I think he's added too many notes this time.
Right. £1.95 worth of stock, Steve, just bought. Has he? Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. Fantastic, Steve. Always good to love, good for a laugh. So we are now, the price now is really at the gap. It's a gap there. We're gapped down on that trading, they announced that trading update, the trading profit warning, gapped down to like 39 pence. We are really at that. So that'll prove some resistance. In the meantime, like I said, there's always plenty of time to get back in. This will come back a little bit, and on dips, I'll be buying more of this because I just genuinely think when that RSI comes down, it cools off a bit when the heat comes off. And the thing is, when you find it hard to buy, that's a good reason to try harder. You know, on a lot of
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
But just to explain to people, if people don't, not that familiar about that, if you look at it, one of the things I always look at is a shareholder register, you know? When you have the boss, the Stephen, the CEO, and his family owning 26%, and there's also good holding, that means the stock is tightly held. That's very good, because there's not very much free float about. So, you know, you imagine if, they always say on the website, you know, stock not in public hands. So, if there's only a tiny little bit, say, you know, 10% of the stock in free float, and all of a sudden you get a bit of interest in it, and people try and buy it. Of course, there's lots of brokers trying to put bids in. There's no stock available. What effect do you think that will have on the price? You know, supply-demand, isn't it? You know, supply-demand. Yeah. If everyone wants some cream donuts, and there's no cream donuts around, then the only man selling cream donuts can afford to put his donuts up. So, well, hang on, you want some? Oh, hang on. Everyone sold out cream donuts in the market? Oh, I'm the only one holding them. Oh, okay. Well, you know, they were 50 pence each. Yeah, it's now going to be a pound. Well,
Sell them,
though.
Yeah, as I pointed out yesterday, though, as Steve bought around 26, 28p, that means it'll come back to at least that level.
It's
bound to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's fine. I'll just wait for that. Yeah, but you're as slow as my father now, Pete. I tell my father, literally, a week later, he said, what was that stock? I said, you bought it. She said, no, I'm busy. I said, well, yes. you weren't busy when I talked to him originally. You got me busy for 7 days. He was on holiday for four of those days. But he didn't know he'd be able
to. Pete, there's this great new stock called Europa Metals. You need to look them up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, snooze box. Yeah. tell us the story of snooze box, Justin.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you a story of them. That's where you learn. I saw a quote recently saying that after your best win, or your best or your biggest loss, so you never is the most vulnerable you are to losing money is after your biggest win in the stock market, because you're blasé, you think everything's going to the moon. When you start to lose, then you start to pay a bit of attention and do a bit more research, and that's when you learn. So you only learn when you lose. So when you think of it like that, right? Obviously, you do want to go out to and aim for losses, but you know, they will teach you good lessons. They say, what I do wrong there. And Snoozebox, essentially, I learned a lot from that. I learned the debt was too big. It was bigger than the company. They couldn't service the debt because they're making a loss. That is, you know, that is critical. If you've got a company with debt and they can't service that debt, and essentially, what that's saying is, it is a good analogy. It is like the Titanic, essentially. There's a bigger hole in the boat than you can get the water out of. You know, you can't get the water out as fast enough. You know, or you're in a little boat and literally the water's coming in and you can't get it out. Literally, if you're in a boat and you have a little pinprick of a hole, you know, no offence, guys, but you can just put your finger over it, it's not a problem, you know. But when that water's coming in, gushing in, and you literally, you can't, you're going to sink. And that's what happened with Snoozebox. I sort of like the concept, but hang on, how many years ago was that? And it's amazing how fast you're going to learn in this game. That's what, you know. Mm. How many years ago was that now? Because we've been
probably about 3 or 4.
3 or 4? It was longer. That you nutter. Snoozebox went offline in about 2 years ago. 4 years ago, didn't it?
2 years ago? Yeah. It was 3 years. It was 2 years. Right. Math is not the strong point of the podcast, is it? So, going back to your beloved Expediator, if I keep an eye on the RSI and other listeners out there who might have also missed the boat, and, you know, if it drops down below 50 and the price is coming back to around, 33p, my amateur chart now is, something like that might be quite a good buy, wouldn't it?
Yeah. The thing is, you never really know. All you can look at, really, is there's obviously support and resistance. But, I'd say, I look at the RSI. I've done a chart on RSIs. You can look up on YouTube, just a Justin Waite RSI, something like that. If you look at that, I want to look at. But, you want it to come back. The RSI now is at 90. That's crazy. So, yeah. But often, when it gives about 70, which is called overbought, that's when the stock starts to move. So you should never sell stock just because the RSI has gone over 70, because it can stay above there for a lot longer than I've seen people sell, and it's gone on multiples. So it can be hot for a long time. But sooner or later, it will come back, and you want to get the RSI down around 50, really, you know, above 50, and then, especially when the stock's hot. It won't go much below 50 if the stock's hot. But, it's when it comes back.
Because I hear what you're saying on the story and all the rest of it, and it's tightly held, and there's some good targets and some potential for reaching somewhere close to those targets, perhaps. But we are talking over the next 2 or 3 years, and this has suddenly come to the market's attention. We've seen a spike now. Unless there's sudden influx of even more great news, it's not going to continue.
No, it's not. It's going to cool off. I mean, in fact, Steve killed the podcast and said they're not doing any more acquisitions now. He said, we have a nice festive Christmas now. We're not doing any more big news. He said in Q1, Q2 next year.
Right, so he's taking 6 weeks off, basically.
No, he said Q1. No, have you seen how many operations ago? They're turning over 200 million. He got it time off, but fair play, he's done well with the business. But he said in Q1, Q2, there'll be a flurry of activity. He said a small couple of acquisitions. We're announcing, I'm very excited to announce a new, not CFO, so Chief Operations, I think. He said he's very well known in the business. He's very exciting. I like him. But I can't announce him yet because he's still working with that company he's with. So we have a new announcement, a couple of small acquisitions, and then the growth will be back on for next year. But of course, you know, when stocks are hot, people start buying them. That's what makes them go up. Yeah. If you have the patience and discipline to wait and sit back a little bit, if you miss the first initial rally, you know, on any stock, and it's and fundamentally, you know, it's sustainable, the business, and it will carry on generating value, then you can be patient. Sit back a little bit and wait. Wait! Yeah. I tell you what's nice to see. Stay at last has had a bit of a movement. I mean, we're on. Yes. They announced acquisition number 18 in Berlin.
And they were talking about 20 by 2020, weren't
well,
they?
Well, no, they said that in the podcast. When they first came to the podcast, start of this year, right? Nuno Sacramento. That's a good name, isn't it? That's a chief operations officer. Nuno Sacramento. He sounds like a wrestler. Anyway, he said, at the time, there were 13 hostels, I think, at the start of the year. He said, we'll be by 20 this time in summer next year. I thought, 20? And literally, the acquisitions are quite slow at that time, you know? And now they're at 18. I think they'll do easier. I think they'll do 20 the next quarter.
And their revenue generation.
They're very sharp guys. Of course, Larry Lippman is chairman. He set up Safe Stall, you know, and that, he took that from nothing to, you know, $1 billion enterprise. Well, he sold it actually, but he still owns stock in it. But he sold the majority interest in, well, it's about 200 million. But he more than 10 bagged it. Nuno said to me actually. He said, there's plenty of opportunities, but you've got to be disciplined. We don't want to buy businesses that don't make sense. You know, they've got to make sense. They've got to make money for us. We can acquire as many as we want, but we don't want loss making businesses. So everything they're acquiring is value accretive. You know, it's adding value. And generally, I mean, as yet, they're like, what are they? There's a list here. It's a good RS. But as yet, they've got 18, but there's Athens, Paris and Venice is a big one. Venice, 660 beds. They bought those, but they're not actually coming online. Athens is coming online in Q1 of next year. Paris is next year, and Venice is like 2 years out. So, as yet, those are not even generating value. But generally, it's about, if you add a million top line for every hostel, brilliant. So they'll be turning over, and they've given forward guidance. They'll be turning over 17, 18 million this year. which is nice, and their market cap is 21 million, and then literally they're valued. I think it's their share price is about 41 net asset value. Their net asset value is about 41 pence. So we're still 8 pence off just basically their assets, you know, without the potential built in. So you're assuming nothing will they'll generate no revenue value from that, which is nuts. But they're undervalued. But I think this is one of those things now that it'll start to move, and when they get a critical mass of like, you know, 20, they turn up 20 million, probably more than that, and they get other hostels come online, and you realise they're a cash generative business. They're not having to go back to the market. I think it'll catch on slowly. I mean, like I said, people don't buy falling shares, you know. People don't get bargains. They wait until it starts rising, then they start buying them. You'll start finding now that, like SafeStays, all of a sudden, you know, I've been chatting to them on the podcast since, I think, Hostel 12 or Hostel 10, and there's been no interest. So now, 8 hostels after I've been covering them, then they literally their volume yesterday, it was, three times average daily volume yesterday. That's never happened before. So at last, the volume is picking up. So it's going to move a little bit, I think.
It would be nice to see.
Yes, yes.
Patience, I think, on that one.
Yeah. Nice to see Polarian have a bit of a rally yesterday. Yes. There's going to be news. That news, I cannot see them releasing positive phase 3 trials and it not going a bit berserk. I just genuinely think it'll do very well, that announcement, you know, because I don't think that's priced in yet at all. They're only valued at 24 million. So that'll be, I'm hoping they'll do it before the end of the year. Maybe not, maybe in first quarter next year, but I'm hoping they'll do it before the end of the year. But
Are they going to need funding, though, at some point?
Well, I think they will, because they're revenue generating, but they're not cash generating, you know, there's never a positive cash flow. So, but to me, I think that they've raised some back in. When did they raise some back? They raised about a couple of million back in. Let me just look. I think they may have enough to get them to the news, which I assume in July they raised two million in July. So I think they'll hopefully. You know, they'd be insane to raise before. I'm saying that if you raise before, then I suppose it'll pave the way then for just a good rise on the news, because raise before or after, you know, you get more interest raising after, you raise it higher, but then you get the worry of people thinking, oh, they're going to raise off the back of that, or you raise before, you get less of a good price, but you know, it'll help the news, the share price rise in the news. What else is happening? Anything else happening?
One thing I noticed that I thought was interesting, the next ex-dividend date for the IUKD fund is the good old 12th of December, which is, of
course, election day. Yeah, oh, is it? Election day.
Well, yeah, so I'm thinking, you know, that a moment of potentially unpredictability there, but I'm thinking of scaling back into it to pick up the dividend.
Yeah, yeah, well, I'm going to do that. If I got, you know, spare funds, I've been buying a bit more recently. There's another stock I've been buying. I'm not telling you what it is, Steve. It's a charity... You have to donate £10 to. Listen, right, I can't believe this. It's a little girl, right? It's a little caravan up north there. It's a little caravan park. And the mother said, can you help donate some money to this? It's free for all families, right? Any families with children who have cancer, which is, imagine children have cancer. I mean, we have whinges in life, but nothing like that, you know? And I think,
no, we don't, you
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I have whinges. But nothing like that. And all they want is £6,500 for the year. That's for the, you know, the cost of keeping the caravan. And I said on Twitter, I said, if 10% of people who follow me just give a tenner, that's more than a year's worth of ground rent for them. And literally, they give it free. Kids with cancer, a week in the car. It's not like they're taking them to Dubai or something, you know? It's like it's a little caravan, a bit of fun there. And so I said, what I'm going to do, and this is anyone listening right now, if you donate a tenner and prove to me on the site, your name's on the site somehow, contact me, I'll tell you what share I've been buying in secret. And I think it's going to have a good rise over the next 6 to 12 months. It's fundamentally backed up. It's a tech stock. It's the shares are tightly held. I think it'll do very well. And it's going into a very exciting area. A bit of a turnaround happening. So if you donate a tenner to that charity, and in fact, what is the charity? It's a little search there, but...
I donated £20, so by rights, you should be giving me 2 tips.
It doesn't work like that. Do you know what? That's just good karma for you, that is. Very good.
Right, okay. Right.
And
Steve, I've covered your tenner. No. Steve, come on, cough up your donation yet.
I was literally working all day yesterday until 9 o'clock last night, so I just haven't had a time. So,
and you think that's more important, Steve, do you?
That's what whoever you're working for. I've got to go donate to a little girl's charity.
I think you think that I just sit around the house doing nothing all day.
Yep.
No. So it's called Maddie's Butterflies Children's Cancer Charity Caravan Appeals. A bit long. Maddie's Butterflies, Samantha's Maddie's Butterflies. It's a mother there with two young girls. You see a little picture of a caravan. You see it on my Twitter account.
Yes.
But, yeah, so they've got, at the moment, they've got £410. And in fact, the last donation there, and I would suggest, is Jerry from Integumin, the CEO, because I told him about it. Put £50 in, right? And he's a lovely guy. And I think, you know what? That says a lot to me. I just give him mention to me. He put some money in there. And I had a few chats with Jerry online. He's a very really nice fella. And so, you know, Integumin, I think. Do you know what? That deal I told about last night, I mentioned the video, Integumin, there's Dead Deal Skin with another company there. I think it's doing very well because they're in the cloud now. And they can sell that AI cloud storage to anyone, not just health. So I think that's a blue sky opportunity. I really do. And I think that's a bit of a transformational deal for them. And not only that, it's their growth next year. This is good growth. So let me just look at what their growth... anyway, they've guided towards 4 million in revenue next year. Now, they're only at 1 million this year. This was a turnaround company that did nothing last year. So they've gone from nothing pretty much to 1 million to now guiding for 4 million. That's 300% growth. Not on chump change. £1 million to 4 million for a small cap company is a lot. I'm thinking, wow, that is impressive growth. So, Jerry has been shouting about it for ages on Twitter. Now he's said that and put it out there in RNS. I believe it, of course. You can always say that, but I believe it because they're getting opportunities with lots of people. So, look into Skin. It's one of those things that can do very well, I think. They're very clever. Jerry's he's a good hustler. He's a good businessman. He's finding ways of extra revenue streams everywhere, and I think he'll do well.
Now, you see, that's another stock that I didn't get into. I had a strong rise, so I stepped back. And then it's sort of been on my watch list, and I've been distracted by other things. I haven't got into it. But hearing that now, it's like, I need to take another look at that. And actually, now is the time to buy, because it's come back from the highs. It was up over 2p, wasn't it? And 2.5. It got up pretty high at some point. So that's the sort of thing that, you know, it's unfancied at the moment, but by the sounds of it, things are really on track, and I need to take a look. Yeah, okay.
Do you know what? And I think buy that on weakness. And before, I was questioning all the time the value, because they are 18 million market cap, but they've come from nothing. They've come from nothing, you know, and they've turned this company around Jerry took over at the back end of, what are you in? Back end of 2018, or halfway through 2018, and have really transformed it in a short space of time, and it's still ongoing. So at the time, I was thinking, okay, they're going to do $1 million in revenue this year. They're still valued $18 million. That's 18 times revenue. But then all of a sudden, they put that growth in there, you know, from $1 million to $4 million. You think, well, hang on a sec, hang on. This is, if it's going to grow that fast, you are buying growth here. If you can do that, you know, in a couple of years, I mean, you know, that's hugely impressive growth. I'm not saying you can keep doing that, because the bigger you get, less percentage of growth you get. But I mean, that now is starting to show some real value generation, and it's worth looking at. And they're in the right space. They're in data. They just said, actually, they got this lab skin, you know, which is human created skin, which skin companies can just test their products on this skin. And in the European Union now, you can't test on animals, all that stuff. For any product you put out there has to be tested on skin. So they've got this lab skin, which, of course, is a lot cheaper, a lot faster, because you don't have to get human volunteers in. Because basically, you just replicate the skin in the labs. But they're saying now the RhinoCloud, which is their data platform, which is they can share with all these skin companies, all that. But also, it's not only for health, it's for any kind of data. Any company, you know, wanting cloud-based secure data, they're saying that the data side of the business will overtake the lab skin side, and it'll be about 2-to-1 in revenue-wise in the next few years. So the data side of the business is very exciting. So it's becoming almost a data company now. That's very exciting. You know, did you see that stat? There's a stat there. It's NHS data. There's this heads of terms deal. And they said NHS data, okay, will... with healthcare sector data growth in 2020 expected to double every 73 days. Every 73 days, and healthcare data is going to double in size. That is phenomenal, isn't it? You keep having that doubling every 73. So even if you do the...
Why is it doubling?
Because everyone realizes now that you need to, you know, create data and have it mineable via AI, and you can get a lot more out of it. And so they realize they're treating their data as literally a scarce commodity. It's you know, there are companies realizing, oh, we've missed something here, and they're not looking at the data they have in depth. Right. And so they're using, you know, experts who can mine this data properly for them and say, okay, they can say, there's a load of these people here who should be receiving this or that or this. And just, it's more efficient, you know, so rather than having to do more tests and all that stuff, it's just, you know, data is power, isn't it? We know something about Facebook. Oh, yes, Facebook's free. Yes, Facebook's free. It's not free, you fools.
No.
You are selling everything about them. Your data, that's how they get you. They got the best data on you in the world. They know what pictures you like, where you've been, what you're having for breakfast, and they'll sell all that back to you.
But you and Steve are selling all your data to China through your smart plugs.
Yeah, exactly. Steve!
Well, we're switching our lights on and off.
Yeah, they know when you're turning your lights on
they're,
and off.
To see, that's not... They get more than that. It's connected to our internet.
Exactly, and it's a snooping device. Ooh.
It is.
I don't care. Steve,
do you work for the Chinese? I've always thought of something Chinese about Steve. Something, isn't there? Something Chinese about him. Don't you think?
I do like Chinese.
I think it's his mum, isn't it?
I think it's his Chinese dressing gown he wears when he comes down here.
Is it? Yeah.
He's in Chinese slippers.
Right now, I bet that's his
Anything else? Oh, by the way, do you know, talk about China. Did you see the figures out yesterday? Were dreadful. It's like, and people say, you know, this is why, I think resource stocks are having a rally at the moment. Oil and gas stocks are having a rally. But I do think it's a temporary blip. I think we're going to a lower growth environment next year because, let me just find this article, because the data they had coming out was not good. Oh, it's not good. See, let me just go through around. It's like fixed, so their retail sales, right, was the worst in 16 years. Their fixed asset investment, whatever that is, but it's obviously assets that are fixed, like buildings and property and all that, was the lowest ever on record. Ever. Now, you know, I often look for comparables that are significant, and it doesn't get more significant than that. When you've got data that's, you know, again, the worst ever investment in China ever, now the second biggest economy in the world, that is quite worrying, you know? I just think, and that's, you know, basically they are, where's my blog? They are, where is it? Five things, okay. Is it there? Did you see John McDonald? Oh, that is hilarious, isn't it? Labour. They give him free internet. Yeah. Free, Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's free. Yeah.
Yeah, how are we going to pay for that? Yeah, I know. Incredible.
Everything is free.
Absolutely insane, really. Isn't it?
Oh, it's free. That's free. It's
almost like that policy came. They came up with that in the back of the bus. They wrote, we need something, a big thing. Right, what do people like using? The internet. What should we do? I know. Free broadband. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That just shows how much they almost know they're not going to win, because they're literally
desperate
to throw out anything they possibly can. But they won't be able to do that, will they? Surely, or it won't work.
Well, they reckon it'll cost $20 billion, right? The BT guy reckons it'll cost at least double that, because obviously you'll go from broadband to 5G soon. So is it going to be free then?
Well, someone has to pay.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Ultimately, you know, that's the thing. Yeah,
they were the internet
it's crazy.
Free...
But on the flip side, not to get political, Boris, his public performances, I mean, are just a comical. And
he is. I thought that. I thought that was a spoof. I turned the TV and that was like halfway into it when he was going to make a cup of tea. Yeah. And I thought, what is this? I thought the one show started or something, and he was doing a funny little spoof thing, and something for, you know, children need or something like that. And I thought, what's going on here? What is this?
Yeah, it's Boris.
It's a typical sort of square political party trying to do off the cuff natural, and it doesn't come across natural. It just comes across as a spoof. To be honest, he's probably a bit more normal than thing. But at least he gets it. What he didn't understand was like the whole John McDonnell, right, is a Marxist. He wants everyone to not earn money. Basically, he wants like the Russian state, everyone to be exactly the same. But what you don't understand, all you do there is share poverty. Everyone becomes, yes, they'll become equality because everyone become poorer. Everyone. And even the poor people become poorer. So you'll get less of a gap in the rich and poor. In fact, because of the rich will just move out, because they've proved it in the past. When you get to a certain level of taxation, people, if you are, you know, paying more than half of your wealth to the government, people who could afford to start moving elsewhere. And so then you don't have as many jobs created, you know, and the economy generally becomes poorer. And this continues, you know, it gets worse and worse, a downward cycle. And it's happened before. And the government build up debt because they're giving away free stuff. There's been tax in the tech companies. They can't, it's been tried before. Do you not understand the tech companies, right? First of all, the tech companies create a heck of a lot of jobs in this company, like Amazon, the Googles, you know? So you do the same with them, they'll start pulling, you know, or whatever, go elsewhere. But you can't do that. They are based in Luxembourg. They do that on purpose. But they do create wealth in this country. And that's what I'm saying. Labour's policies are to destroy wealth. I understand they want to try and make poor people better. People are struggling. I agree with that. There should be nobody getting food from food banks. Nobody. But by destroying wealth at the top, though, you don't make it better at the bottom. You make it worse at the bottom. They don't understand. None of their policies is wealth creating. None of them. They're just wealth destroying. They don't understand that. You know, you've got to stimulate, not chop it down. It's ridiculous. I mean, okay, it needs to be distributed better, maybe somehow, in a fairer way. But you don't do this by just basically, you know, cutting the legs off the wealth creators or scaring them abroad. He wants £15 an hour if you work at McDonald's. NHS nurses don't get that. It's like you want a 4-day working week. You can't do that. What are you talking about? You can't. I don't understand. You want working minimum time, minimum wage. It's just nuts.
But I think all politicians are out of touch.
Yeah.
I think that's being proven more and more through this election campaign. I mean, to be honest, the Tories probably are paying some consultancy millions, aren't they, to manage it, as well as Dominic Cummings or whatever, to manage this campaign. And I just thought, you know what? What you should do next week is keep Boris at home for a week and see ratings go up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking he's doing more damage than good, actually trying to be man of the people and trying to be in touch with people and do, you know, videos and YouTube. And it's just don't do it.
But
anyway.
But then again, everyone, you know, there are some mad people out there. And genuinely, when Boris went up north and got heckled and shouted at, that plays into his court a little bit, because people think, well, he felt a bit sorry for him. He tried, he's a bit late. Yes, he tried, and he can shut it down and slagged off. And he, you know, he didn't. And so some people think, well, okay. And I know a problem. He said, poor Boris, he's having a right bad time of it, isn't he? But that's part of the deal, you know. But so if he'd gone there, I just think it's fine. The sympathy vote is not a bad thing. He's just trying something. Oh, they were late, and the people are annoyed with him. But him getting shouted at And it's not a bad thing. I think it was worse when that guy, that Scottish guy, said to Jeremy Corbyn, how can we have a terrorist sympathiser in number 10? Well, who's the first terrorist you're going to invite to number 10, Jeremy?
And he just ignored him.
Yeah, and he just walked off. Oh, he's running away. Yeah. That was, to a certain extent. And Jeremy Corbyn, that, at least Boris is British. And that's almost like it's become a dirty word of late, you know? And people saying, oh, if you're British, you're racist. No, you're not. And he does champion. He believes. I think he totally believes. That, and it's true, though. Britain has some fantastic, you know, inventors, tech people, creators, engineers. You know, we've led the world. For a small country, we punch way above our weight. And he believes in that entrepreneurial spirit we have. And I don't think Corbyn does. I just think Corbyn's a real Marxist who, literally, preferred to sort of befriend, you know, terrorists and pat our military on the back. You know, I just think he's completely, you know, not patriotic at all. He just wants, he'd prefer a Russian, Venezuelan slash state rather than a British, you know, country. He's not patriotic at all. I hate him. In fact, do you know what?
I like him because
I think he's the best weapon Conservatives got. Because people think he's ridiculous.
Weapon is the word.
He's a ridiculous, that man.
He is a weapon.
If he was half incompetent, he could do it. Jo Swinson's the same. She's an imbecile. But if he was half competent, he could be a real threat to the Tories because they've made some big mess-ups. But do you know what? He hasn't, has he?
The last 3 years have been an opportunity for Labour to really seize the initiative, and they haven't.
There we are. It's one other thing. Let's go. I was trying to find those figures on China, but it was basically bad. But one other thing is telling the European Union. This is with the Norway sovereign fund. Didn't realize this. It's the biggest pension fund in the world. They pulled their investments from oil and gas recently, right? Which is massive because they are traditionally that's the biggest sector of investment. And now the European Union is to stop funding oil, gas, and coal projects at the end of 2021. See, this sea of change, you've got to realise it's going to become harder for oil and gas companies and stocks, you know, because funding is against the grain. It's against the trend. You know, we're going to a greener environment, whether you like it or not. And you may say, climate change isn't happening. You can protest against that all you want, kicking and screaming. But the money flow is moving out of that area. And so, you know, I think tech is probably best to be in because that's where it's going towards, isn't it? Everything plays into tech. Tech is everything. Tech is everywhere. And everywhere is tech. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Steve, he's got me some smart plugs. Now the Chinese are listening to me. I'll test it. I'll just put a Chinese order in.
Yes.
Can I have a sweet and sour chips, please?
And it turns up. Yeah.
And then I cancel out by owning a few oil and gas stocks.
Yeah. And they turn up with a takeaway and say, got you. that's £15.20. Okay, there you go. Thanks very much. Lovely. Any plans for the weekend?
Just staring into the middle distance.
Okay. I'm filming the Cardiff Christmas decorations in the Coca-Cola truck today.
That's nice, isn't it? You got,
wow.
It sounds nice. You get there, actually. A lot of people in the way shouting and screaming and just too many people. That's the trouble with the planet. Yeah. Too many people, really.
No, I got to make it look magical.
Well, Steve,
good luck.
Yeah, we will make it magical. All you do is play some music, right? And you got the truck. So all you need is before you do that, Steve, go and support Samantha's Maddie's Butterflies Children Cancer Charity Caravan Appeal. It's quite a long-winded one, yeah. But £10 in that, I'll tell you what stock I'm buying. Yeah.
Okie doke.
And all the listeners to the Weekend Podcast, we'll dip into your pocket and go and support it. Let's go and try and hit that target.
Yes, exactly. It's at £410. 6,550 is at the moment.
A little bit off.
A little bit off. Yeah. They've got to pay, apparently. You've got to pay £1,500 before the end of this month. Deposit. Right. So, come on, we need quadruple that at the moment. Lovely. All right, lads. Have a nice weekend.
Bye.
Speaky next weeky.
Bye.
Speaky next weeky. I want to get that as my catchphrase. Speaky next weeky. Yeah.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.